reading from the book of Genesis. God put Abraham to the test. He called to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son Isaac, your only one whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. There you shall offer him up as a burnt offering on a height that I will point out to you." Early the next morning, Abraham saddled his donkey, took with him his son Isaac and two of his servants as well, and with the wood that he had cut for the burnt offering, set out for the land of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham got sight of the place from afar. Then he said to his servants, "Both of you stay here with the donkey, while the boy and I go on over yonder. We will worship and then come back to you." Thereupon Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac's shoulders, while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two walked on together, Isaac spoke to his father Abraham, "Father," he said. "Yes, son," he replied. Isaac continued, "Here are the fire and the wood, but where is the sheep for the burnt offering?" "Son," Abraham answered, "God will provide the sheep for the burnt offering." And the two continued going forward. When they came to the place at which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. Next, he tied up his son Isaac and put him on top of the wood on the altar. Then he reached out and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the Lord's messenger called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he answered. "Do not lay your hand on the boy," said the messenger. "Do not do the least thing to him. I know now how devoted you are to God, since you did not withhold from me your own beloved son." As Abraham looked about, he spied a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. So he went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering in place of his son. Abraham named the site Yahweh Yireh. Hence, people now say, "On the mountain the Lord will see." Again, the Lord's messenger called to Abraham from heaven and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you acted as you did in not withholding from me your beloved son, I will bless you abundantly and make your descendants as countless as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. Your descendants shall take possession of the gates of their enemies, and in your descendants all the nations of the earth shall find blessing. All this because you obeyed my command." Abraham then returned to his servants, and they set out together for Beersheba, where Abraham made his home. The word of the Lord. Without a doubt, this story is among the most difficult to digest in all of Scripture. Familiar to Christians as the sacrifice of Isaac, it raises enormous questions for us about who this God is who would make such a request of someone. How could God even suggest that a child be offered up as a burnt offering? We have also become accustomed to interpreting this story in light of Abraham's obedience. His willingness to offer up his most precious son is unimaginable and would leave most parents willing to sacrifice their faith in such a God rather than the life of their child. Countless are the parents who, in pain and anguish, have given up their children to God due to illness or accident. I have to believe that Abraham's willingness to do what was asked of him was wrought with absolute agony and devastation. But what about Isaac? What was his experience in this whole scenario? The passage indicates that he was clearly old enough to walk, talk, and carry the wood for the sacrifice on his shoulders. Would he not have also had the strength to fight off his aged father when he came to realize that he was the intended offering? Could he not have run away? Is the fact that the story goes on to say that he was indeed tied up and placed on top of the wood on the altar an indication that he was a willing participant? If so, then it seems the story is as much about Isaac's obedience as it is about his father's. In the Jewish tradition, this passage is referred to as the Akedah, or the binding of Isaac, rather than the sacrifice. Rabbis suggest that Isaac did understand what was happening fairly early on in the process. According to the Midrash, Isaac tells his father to bind him tightly so he will not flinch. This is the action not of a young boy, as we often presume Isaac to be, but of a young man who shares his father's vision, faith, and belief in the one true God. Such an interpretation leads me to consider what it is that binds us. We speak of the ties that bind, often indicating family relationships. Or we might bind an aching wound, implying a need for healing or forgiveness. Or we sign binding contracts, demonstrating the rights and responsibilities of an agreement. Do any of these phrases link us to the same kind of faith that Abraham and Isaac had in God? What is it that binds us to our God? It is no less than the waters that flowed over us in baptism, binding us as daughters and sons of God, as sisters and brothers to each other, as disciples of Jesus Christ. It is the healing grace of life and forgiveness, binding our broken hearts, minds, and spirits through the act of reconciliation. It is the promise of the Spirit, whose presence in our lives allows us to fulfill our rights and responsibilities in the vows we have proclaimed, binding us to someone or something other than ourselves in marriage, profession, or ordination. But we must also admit the ties that bind us to a way of life that does not reflect the one to which we are called, and instead demonstrates our disobedience to God. The journey of conversion is not an easy one. As we make our way to our own Moriah, we may wrestle with the call to give up, to offer, to sacrifice to God our opinions that hold us down, our perspectives that are limited, our practices and habits which are insular and routine. But when we keep our hearts and minds focused on the one true God, as Abraham and Isaac did, somehow we find the strength to sacrifice our old vision in order to embrace the vision of God. It is this vision to which we are bound that allows us to walk the way of Christ, who obediently accepted even death on a cross, that we may live. May we, in our commitment, be so tightly bound to this life that we may not flinch in the living of it.